Okay.
I don't like running it that much. I looked in the weather. It looked like everything was kind of north and...
3 to 5 now.
It's mostly north
it's
and east of
It's supposed to be
us.
8 up north and stuff, but not here.
Yeah, like Carrington looked
so
like.
So we'll just see whether they're right there. Anyway, I ran out and did errands last night, just to be sure. Okay, go ahead. Good morning. This is Commissioner Susan Wiefald. The commission is meeting today on the 12th floor of the State Capitol Building in our hearing room for our regularly scheduled meeting. It is 10 a.m. on February 13th, 2008. With me today is Commissioner Tony Clark, and Commissioner Kevin Kramer is joining us by phone today. And Commissioner Clark, do you have any welcoming comments?
Just good morning. Welcome.
And Commissioner Kramer?
Good morning.
Okay, great. And we have a number of items on our consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve those.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, next.
So Mike's on.
Yeah, it's on, but it wasn't close enough. Sorry.
Okay, you let us know if you can't hear anything, all right?
That was better. I heard her.
Okay. SW1, I move the commission issue a notice of filing and a notice of hearing in case number PU07722 Langdon Wind LLC's proposed wind farm expansion in Cavalier County, North Dakota.
Second.
Florida Power and Light, which owns Langdon Wind LLC, filed an application for an amendment to its certificate of site compatibility, authorizing construction of a 40-megawatt expansion to its existing Langdon Wind Energy Center, consisting of 27 additional wind turbine generators and associated facilities in Cavalier County, North Dakota. Now, the commission finds that Langdon Wind's application is complete. Staff has gone over this in quite some detail. The commission is planning to schedule a public hearing on this matter. We'll be discussing on admin the day to set that public hearing. In this particular situation, the reason I'm recommending as portfolio holder that we hold a hearing on this matter is because 40 megawatts of wind is a significant addition to the project. Second, holding a hearing allows public participation in that county, in Cavalier County. And third, I have found in the past that by issuing a notice of public hearing that it actually saves time. It may seem that it's easier to issue just a notice of opportunity for hearing, but rather than take the risk of that there's one or two people up in Cavalier County who may have some concerns and want to ask for a hearing, and then we would need to issue a notice of opportunity, and then if someone requests a hearing, then we must also re-notice it and schedule the hearing after that. So I have found in the past that it's best to go straight to hearing on a matter like this, and that saves time and effort for many people involved. So for those reasons, I move that the commission make this motion.
All in favor?
I have to say that I disagree with the assessment. I do understand that a filing of an opportunity for a hearing does run the risk that somebody could ask for the hearing and thus extend the timeline, but it is also my understanding that the company would have preferred a notice of opportunity. This is a previously cited or an expansion of a previously cited wind farm. I think that given the I don't believe anyway any local citizens or officials have requested a hearing, and I just think to impose the cost and the inconvenience of a hearing on the location, if you will, if no one is asking for it, is more than we should be taking on at this point, especially given that our public utility staff is very, very busy, and I just think that we could get all of the same information in an informal hearing in Bismarck. move this and hopefully all of the other important siting cases we have before us along a little bit quicker.
I'm going to vote against. Okay, it's interesting your comments, though, Kevin, because I have had no information from the company that they preferred a notice of opportunity. Isn't anywhere in the record that I've ever seen.
Well, there wouldn't be a record. I talked to Jerry, and it's been some time now about it, and I thought at that point I was under the understanding that there was going to be a notice of opportunity. Now, obviously, you've changed your mind about that, and that's fine, and I'm not, I don't want to get into a big tussle about it, but I just think in this particular situation that a hearing is unnecessary unless somebody asks for it.
Okay, thank you.
I'm inclined to support it. I don't know that there's any hard and fast rule for something like this. When a hearing should just outright be scheduled and versus just notice of opportunity. In my mind, given the size of the wind farm there and the fact that 40 megawatts is not an insignificant addition to it, I think if it were a few towers maybe around the edges, it might be different. But it's not a minor expansion. I'm comfortable just going ahead and scheduling the hearing and moving right to that as opposed to just simply an opportunity for one.
Commissioner Weefel, your vote.
Have you already voted? I didn't know you'd call for the vote.
We didn't. I was going to have a roll call vote.
Okay,
so
that's fine.
I have to pretend I'm guessing at the nay. Commissioner Weefel?
Oh, aye.
And Commissioner Clark?
Aye.
And Commissioner Kramer?
No.
Okay, thank you. Okay, going next to SW2. I move the commission adopt the order authorizing a change in the method of accounting for nuclear refueling costs in Northern State Power Company's application case number PU07774.
Second.
Mike Diller is the staff person who's been doing work on this particular matter. On December 5th, 2007, Northern States Power Company filed a petition for accounting treatment for nuclear refueling. The recommended accounting treatment will amortize the cost of refueling over the life of the fuel rather than the current method of expensing the costs when incurred. Expensing these costs provides for large swings in the reported cost of service depending on when the refueling is done, and amortizing the cost over the life of the fuel will level out the cost and result in a better matching of cost to the consumers using the electricity generated by the nuclear fuel. On December 20th of 2007, the staff concluded that the commission should approve the accounting method described in the petition. Both parties, NSP and staff, because there are separate parties in this, agree that the issue of cost recovery of these nuclear costs should be addressed in the upcoming electric rate increase application. But they both feel that this does not preclude the commission from agreeing to the method of amortizing nuclear fuel costs. This is a rather abstract issue. We did notice it for opportunity for hearing. No one has come forward on this particular matter to request a hearing on the way that the commission treats these the cost of refueling over the life of the fuel. And so at this point, the commission orders that Northern States Power Company shall amortize nuclear refueling costs over the life of the installed fuel, and that cost recovery for nuclear refueling costs will be determined in the Northern State Power Company's electric rate increase application, case number PU07776.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 SW3, I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and citing application to one day, and assess a filing fee of $100,000 due upon the filing of an application in case number PU0646. Crown Butte Wind Power, LLC's proposed 200-megawatt wind farm in Adams and Bowman County in North Dakota.
Second.
The commission has received a letter of intent from Crown Butte Wind Power, LLC. They intend to construct a 200-megawatt wind energy facility in southwest North Dakota. The project would be located near the town of Gascoigne. the commission is familiar with this area because for years there's been a coal mine located just south of where the proposed wind farm would be located, and that coal mine has now gone into reclamation with the closing of that mine at Gascoyne. Crown Butte proposes that this particular project would be constructed using 134 1.5 megawatt GE type turbines, and they anticipate that the electricity from this project would be delivered onto the MISO system via an MDU K30 KV line 3 miles south of the project. They anticipate the construction of the park to begin in third quarter of 2009, with operation beginning in first quarter of 2010, and the park has an anticipated cost of $350 million. They're asking that the waiting period, they're asking that we would issue a waiver. Usually the normal time is a one-year waiting period prior to filing an application after a letter of intent. They're asking that be reduced, and that Crown Butte would be allowed to submit the application by March 14th, which would be 1 month from now, 2008. Everything seems to be in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 SW4, I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and citing an application to 1 day, and assess a filing fee of $100,000 due upon the filing of an application in case number PU0648, Otter Tail Corporations and Minn Kota Power Cooperative's proposed electric transmission line in Barnes, Cass, and Steele counties of North Dakota.
Second.
Now, the description that accompanied, that came in the letter of intent, says the Laverne Maple River high voltage generation outlet line is approximately 60 miles in length. The generation outlet facility is an integral component of the proposed wind generation farms proposed to be located in Barnes, Griggs, and Steele counties. The power line corridor is anticipated to generally parallel the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad from a new substation near the wind generation site southeast of Laverne to an existing substation located near West Fargo, North Dakota. The proposed high-voltage generation outlet will allow the wind farms to contribute an estimated 400 megawatts of renewable energy to the grid. Otter Tail requests that, that again, a waiver of the requirement that they have to file. They can only file within 1 year, that be waived to 1 day. The reason for the waiver request is that the generation outlet line must be in service by December 31st, 2008, in order for the supported wind turbines to qualify for the federal production tax credit. And it's their hope to have the permits issued by April 30th of 2008, which would only be 10 weeks from today if they're talking about our permit, and we haven't even received the application yet. So they certainly have high hopes. However, it does say in the next paragraph, the construction of this line is contingent upon Board of Directors' approval of both Otter Tail and Minn Kota, as well as the successful and timely issuance of permits and execution of wind developer agreements. So there are other things that they're still working on in regard to this.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 SW5. This is for discussion only. The commission is announcing the fuel cost adjustment for Otter Tail customers for February of 2008. The cost of power for Otter Tail customers for the month of February will be 5.15 cents per kilowatt hour, as shown on the graph below, and we put those graphs out on the table for people to take a look at. And as a result of this change, the electric bill for an Otter Tail customer, residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours per month, will increase by $14.78 for bills rendered in the month of February. Now, as you can see, if you look at the chart, this is the highest fuel cost adjustment that Otter Tail customers have had since the information on the chart is started, which is in 1995. We had fuel cost adjustment before then, but I can tell you we never saw a 5.15 cent fuel cost adjustment before then either. So this is the highest cost by far that we've seen on this chart. Customers have already noticed this on their bills. We have heard from quite a number of customers. Considering it's early in the month yet, we've heard from at least 12 to 15 customers from Otter Tail who are concerned about this. Why is this such a burden to customers at this time? That's because when we've talked about the average average residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours per month, and that their increase would be around $15 for bills rendered in the month of February. We've been hearing from residential customers who, because they use heat in January, they're using electricity for heat. One residential customer had a usage of 5,937 kilowatt hours. Another had 1,927. Another used 3,900 kilowatt hours per month. For these customers, the increase is substantially higher, is a lot higher. For that person who used 5,937, their bill would increase by 8 times what the average customer's bill would increase. And so that's why we're hearing from folks who are, this is quite a burden in the month of January to have these high fuel costs. Why am I saying in January? Because the way Otter Tail bills its fuel cost adjustment is that it's if the bill goes out in February, but it reflects January usage, they still pay the higher fuel cost adjustment. They pay the February fuel cost adjustment on their January usage because the bill went out in February. That also is causing some consternation among people because some of their friends may have been billed January 31st, and then their bill came out on February 1st. They paid 2 cents higher on their fuel cost adjustment than their friends who were billed using the January rates because their bill came out in January. That's just the way the tariff says that it works. The commission is concerned about the cost of the high cost of fuel for Otter Tail. The reasons that Otter Tail has shared with the commission in their filing were that the Big Stone plant had an outage, and that outage was for replacement of pollution control equipment and rewind of the stator. The outage necessitated 74% more purchases than originally budgeted. Otter Tail notified their notified the commission in November and also mailed letters to their customers notifying them of the increase, but of course they didn't know precisely what the increase would be at that time. They just said there would be an increase. People received that letter, they recognized that, but it didn't give them enough information to be able to understand the amount of the increase. Also, weather in early December was much colder than typical, 30% more heating degree days in the first 15 days, causing purchase prices on the market to be higher than budgeted. The commission staff will be looking closely at this matter.
It is a matter that concerns me, and I don't think anyone's suggesting that somehow Otter Tail didn't incur these costs. We knew that these would be coming. I do think that, however, our fuel clause adjustment is written probably never contemplated an issue like this. And it's the first time that it's happened in a long time, at least going back to 1995, and who knows if we'd ever peaked one quite as high as this before. I do hope that staff and the commission and the company can talk about perhaps some ways that we can address an issue like this into the future, whether it be spreading these types of costs out over a little bit longer time. In a situation like this, maybe there's triggers, caps, things like that. I mean, utility obviously is entitled to recover them at some point and potentially maybe with interest if you spread it out. But there's also a public good that you need to protect when there are issues of rate shock that happen. And I'd like to explore and see if there aren't some ways maybe that built into some of these tariffs we might be able to help mitigate some of those rate shock issues.
In this particular situation, just so that people are aware of this, it says we're presently a four-month averaging, and because the high costs were, a lot of them were in December, the four-month averaging, they're anticipating that high costs will be in place for Otter Tail customers not only in February but in March, April, and May, and will drop off in June. Okay. That ends the items in my portfolio. Going on to Commissioner Clark.
Thank you. There's just one item in my portfolio. It's TC 1, I move the commission recommend to the court that the trust assets and bond proceeds available in this case be used to pay the valid claims based upon their valid claims plus interest, that payment be forwarded to the claimants as soon as possible, and that the commission be reimbursed for expenses incurred in the administration of the insolvency. I further move the commission request the court require the surety, Western Surety Company, now known as CNA Surety Company, 101 South Phillips Avenue, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, 57104, to deposit the total bond proceeds in the amount of $200,000 in this proceeding.
Second.
This insolvency relates to Specialty Export Productions, Inc., which had facilities in North Dakota licensed in Hatton and East Fairview. The insolvency was triggered by a request from the Canadian Wheat Board that the commission received in the amount of just over $36,000. And we started the insolvency for proceedings from there on August 29th. The judge signed the order appointing the commission trustee and joining the surety. The commission received 8 claims in the total amount of $190,485.55. The commission recommends that invalid claims totaling $1,943.88 and discounts totaling $522.45 be denied, leaving a balance of valid claims in the amount of $188,019.22. The commission also recommends that valid claims be paid interest of the date of the insolvency at the weighted prime rate charged by the Bank of North Dakota. We're also asking for reimbursement of our expenses, which we only do if there is adequate trust funds to cover both the principal and interest due the claimants. In this case, there is. The commission liquidated assets in the amount of $61,463.92 that were available at our disposal in the Hatton facility. These were all organic grains, specialty export, specialized in that particular market. So the marketing of them was actually a little bit unique for our staff, because it's you're looking for a premium price for an organic type product. But we are pleased that we were able to get $61,000 just over that. We're asking that the surety be required to turn over the full $200,000, and whatever is unused, we will return to them.
It's always a good day for the public when payment will be 100% of the valid claims plus interest, and that's what's happening today.
I should note that there is a hearing scheduled on the matter March 26, 2008 for district court. I can't recall which district court it's in. I think in the Northeast. Anyone who disagrees with the commission's report has the opportunity to be heard at that time.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That ends the items in my portfolio.
Okay, and Commissioner Kramer, I believe the two items that were in your portfolio you have held over to the next meeting. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Okay, that concludes the items today that the commission has before it. I don't believe there's no press present, so I don't know if anyone else in the room has any questions. All right, that being the case, the commission will adjourn for 10 minutes, and we'll come back at 25 minutes to 11. Kevin, do you wish to just stay on the line during that time, or do you want to call back in 10 minutes?
You know, I think it might be just as easy for you guys if Esther just wants to call me when you're ready to go again. And before I forget, I would authorize Esther to sign my name on the orders, other than the one, of course, that I...
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Okay. All right, we'll proceed to sign everything.